Hello, and welcome to GoGo Radio, found exclusively on GoGo.com. My name is Shalia M. Harden, and in this show, we are going to discuss the fundamentals of Six Sigma. But before we get started, to learn more about me and my background, be sure to check out my profile at GoGo.com. If at any time you have questions or comments regarding the content of this show, please use the question and comment box located in the lower right-hand corner of the homepage of GoGo.com. It is suggested that you submit questions as they occur, then click Submit. Your questions will be answered soon after the completion of this broadcast and posted to the homepage of GoGo.com's website. Now let's begin. Many times in my work, I am often asked these questions. What is Six Sigma? How does it work? And what is the benefit to me, or why should I learn it? In the previous show, we discussed the first question. What is Six Sigma? We determined Six Sigma was a methodology, or mindset, for how to logically go about solving problems. We also discussed that it was a systematic approach for reducing defects. We also said it was a set of tools for analyzing data and a measurement-based strategy to achieve the Six Sigma value, which means the process or product that produces less than 3.4 defects or errors per 1 million opportunities available for a defect or error to occur. In this show, we will focus our attention on the second question. How does Six Sigma work? Six Sigma tools and methodology are deployed through two sub-methodologies or systems. The first system is called DMAIC, which stands for Define, Measure, Analyze, Improve, and Control. And this particular sub-methodology is used for addressing problems with existing products or processes seeking to reduce variation or increase incremental improvement. The second sub-methodology is called DFSS, and it stands for Define for Six Sigma. The phases for this particular sub-methodology varies depending upon the Six Sigma organization you are affiliated with. The most typical phases for the DFSS sub-methodology is called DCOV, which stands for Design, Confirm, Optimize, and Verify. In this sub-methodology of Six Sigma, the DFSS version, it is used for developing new concepts or processes or products that you would like to launch into full product or process commercialization. So again, it's looking at a conceptual idea and making sure that you design it right the first time. But for this broadcast, we will focus our discussion to the DMAIC sub-methodology for improving existing products, processes, or services already in the market, and to further DCOV system for later broadcasts. So let's focus more on the DMAIC process. In the DMAIC subsystem, the following strategies is executed. Know who is the customer and what is important to the customer. Reduce the defects within the given process or products. Center the process around the target or the median, and reduce the process variation. These strategies are executed using the tools and methodology of the Six Sigma DMAIC process, which is separated into five phases. That is to define, the measure, the analyze, the improve, and the control. The first phase in the DMAIC model is the define phase. In the define phase, you will learn, who is my customer? What matters to satisfy the customer? What is critical to quality for the customer? What's the scope of the problem? What defects am I trying to reduce? By how much? Give a realistic and appropriate goal. What's the current cost of defects, the poor quality or cost of poor quality? And lastly, what are the benefits I will get, or we will get, by reducing these particular defects. These questions are answered in five steps that make up the define phase. Those five steps, which are sometimes identified as elements, are as follow. The first phase, or excuse me, first step or element is called defining the problem statement. In defining the problem statement, you identify, articulate, and summarize the problem to be addressed. The second step or element is called defining the process map. In defining the process map, you identify the boundaries of the process that will be assessed. And the third step or element, which is called voice of the customer to critical to quality, which is VOC to CTQ, is where you clearly understand the critical, what's critical from the customer's point of view. And the fourth step, called defining the project scope, you will narrow your boundaries of the process to look more closely at the variables that you will study. And then the last and final step, which is called defining the project charter, the team will document their activities as they are completed. It is very important to develop the proper output from the define phase. Without a well-defined project, the team will struggle in subsequent phases. The define phase begins with a definition of the problem. It ends with a completed project charter. One of the main features of the entire Six Sigma process is that it is data-driven. Decisions are not made on the basis of intuition. The measure phase, which is the second phase, details how to discover fundamental data about the process or product being investigated. In the measure phase, you will determine what we want to know about the process, identify key measures based on the voice of the customer, collect data, and calculate process capability. There are six steps that make up the measure phase. Those six steps or elements are as follows. The first step is to identify measurement and variation, knowing that variation exists in all processes. They usually, over time, will drift, but there's natural inherent variation, which causes a shift. The second step or element is determining the data type. With Six Sigma, as we mentioned before, it is data driven. So qualitative data will not work in the Six Sigma methodology. The data that is used is quantitative, and there's two types of quantitative data. It is attribute, like a go, no go, and it is variable, which is a continuous discrete list of data. The third step or element is called developing the data collection plan. As you begin to study your process or project, you will notice that you will have some data, but you will not know the basis or the fundamentals of how that data was collected. As well, you may find out that certain variables you don't know enough information about, and so you may need to collect more data. In this particular step or element, you will identify what additional data is needed and how you will collect that data. Once that is done, you will then move into the fourth step or element, which is called performance measurement system analysis. And the performance measurement system analysis, this is really where you establish your credibility. You establish the method or the device, the credibility on the device in which you will take your measurements. You have to make sure that the measurement device is giving you true, accurate, and precise information. And again, that goes back to my first point about existing data. A lot of times you don't know how it was collected or have no confidence in the measurement device in which it was collected on. Once you have established credibility in your measurement device, you then will move to the fifth step, and that is where you collect data and assess capability. It's only here when you establish the baseline of the existing process. There are two ways in which you can establish your process capability. One way, if you have attribute data, is what we've discussed earlier, where you will calculate your defects per million opportunities. You will change that defects per million opportunity into a Z value, which can be converted to sigma. The other way is with variable data, which is most commonly known when you establish your CPK and PPK numbers to get your sigma value. Once you establish what your capability is, then the last thing you should do is complete a failure mode and effect analysis. This is where you look at what is the impact of this particular failure mode to your customer, what is your ability to detect it, as well as how often is this failure mode likely to occur. Upon completing the measure phase, you will have a plan for completing data that specifies the type of data needed, the key measures to provide the data, and the technique for collecting the data. As well, you will validate your measurement system that ensures the accuracy and consistency of the data collected, and you will ensure that you have sufficient data set for problem analysis. We have now reached the third phase of the five phases in the domain process. The problem has been defined and measurements have been taken. Remember, if it is discovered that more data is needed, we can return to a previous phase for further clarification. At this point, it is time to analyze collected measurement data and discover more about the process performance. In the analyze phase, there are four elements or steps. The first step is process analysis methods. This particular step is use process maps to identify the potential sources or source of variation. If not using your process map, you would then start to look at trying to establish the data in such a way that you can do a review analysis method. In a review analysis method, you will construct graphs to look for patterns that may help you identify the sources of variation. After you do the review analysis method, you then will move to the graphical analysis methods or tools. Again, in the graphical analysis tools, which is connected to your review analysis methods, you will take a closer look at the data or the graphs to get a better understanding of how to read the graphs. Basically, that the graphs speak to you or the data speak to you to tell you the centeredness or the spread or to identify what particular 20% that accounts for 80% of the problem. In this particular section, you will look at various types of graphs or tools to use to actually lay out your data. We will look at trend run charts for looking at processes over time. We will use histograms to look at the mean, the median, and the mode of a process. We would look at box plots to understand the spread and the boundaries and any type of outliers. We will also look at Pareto charts to understand what 20% variable accounts for 80% of the problem. And last but not least, we will look at scatter diagrams to understand relationships between the X variables and the Y outputs. Once this is done, we should be able to move into the last step or element, which is called identifying sources of variation. In this particular step, you will then take a closer look to identify the root cause of the problem. The analyze phase allows you to target improvement opportunities by taking a closer look at the data collected in the measure phase. The baseline performance capability data sets the stage for further refinement and analysis of the data. With the baseline Six Sigma value established, you will select appropriate graphical analysis tools and apply them to the data collection during the measurement phase. The analyze phase ends once you have identified the root cause or source of the variation. Once you have identified the source of the variation or the root cause, we now can begin the improvement phase. During the improvement phase, we will generate and pilot potential solutions for the causes identified in the analyze phase. Truly, at this point, this is where the problem ends, or defining the problem, and and the solving of the problem begins. The purpose of the improvement phase is to allow you to develop, implement, and validate improvement alternatives or ideals that will achieve desired performance levels as defined by the critical to quality characteristics. There are six steps or elements to the improvement phase. They are: generate improvement alternatives, whether you are brainstorming to come up with ideals, or you are developing a design of experiment to generate ideals. Once you have narrowed down the ideal that you will actually follow, you then need to reassess your FEMA to understand if this idea was implemented, would it improve the rate of failure in terms of reducing the amount of it occurring, and is my probability of detecting it, has it been improved? As well, you will look at or perform a cost and benefit analysis. You want to make sure that the cost to actually implement this particular improvement idea does not outweigh the benefit of what you're trying to achieve. To help with this in implementing, you should create what we call a should-be future state process map. And this is step four, or element in the improvement phase. This becomes a visual map to help train people in how to actually implement your new idea. As well, it's considered like a mirror or a vision of success. I do recall when I was out training and learning Lean, I was very impressed with one company that I visited, because as you walk through their front door, they have this huge mural on the wall that was their vision of success. And so whether you were an employee or a customer or a vendor to this company, everyone was unified in what the vision of success looked like, because as they walked into the front door, you couldn't help but see and capture what they were trying to achieve. But once you have created your should-be future state process map, the fifth step or element is to actually pilot your idea. A pilot is actually trying your idea on a smaller scale. This helps to reduce the risk of actually changing over everything and finding out that the project or the idea does not work. It's lower in cost, and it's a faster way, again, to prove it out before you actually go completely into full production on your new idea. Once you pilot it out, you are collecting data during the pilot to begin to validate that your improvement actually is, in fact, an improvement. And that leads you to the sixth step. In the sixth step, you will validate your improvement. And that's where you will go back and you will recalculate your process capability. The fifth phase in the DMAIC process is the control phase. The purpose of the control phase is to institutionalize the process or product improvements and monitor ongoing performance in order to sustain the gains achieved in the improve phase. There are three steps that make up the control phase. They are: develop the control strategies and how you plan to control it. Develop a control plan so that you can train the operators to sustain or maintain the control, and what to do if there is actually a problem, and put together a reaction plan or a troubleshooting guide if there is a problem. And then last but not least, update your standard operating procedures and training plan, so that new hires and as well as you move on, the process will sustain by having standard operating procedures to operate by. I hope you have enjoyed today's show. If you have any questions or comments, please use the question and comment box located in the lower right-hand corner on the homepage of gogo.com. In the next show, we will discuss the third question: what is the benefit to me? If you're interested in viewing my other shows, just search the Gogo Radio Archive for Shalia M. Hardin. As well, if there's a question or comment you would like me to present on a show, please send me an email and let me know. Thank you for your time today, and remember to tune in to Gogo Radio, found exclusively on gogo.com.